If you have a TV and you ever tune in to Antiques Roadshows or some similar show like that, you'll see the expert that has taken some artifact and will look at it, and what he's looking for is provenance. And what he's looking for is really the place of origin or earliest known history of this object that he's looking at, the beginning of something's existence, something's origin, a record of ownership used as a guide to authenticity or quality, and they want provenance. Sometime back, Beverly and I went to Canton, Texas, for the first time in our life, which will probably be the last time in our life, but we went there. And I'd been talking to Daryl, because Daryl's a gun collector, so is Wayman. And Daryl said, now if you find this certain weapon that is up there, you look in a certain place and it should have this certain wording. And the reason I'm not telling you what all that was is that I don't remember. And neither do I care. I looked for all of that and I found all that. And I got him on the phone and I said, he said, what kind of condition is in it? And to me, if it has a wood stock and nothing is hanging, it's in great condition. And I said to Daryl, everything seems to be in place. You want me to buy it? And he said, no. And he was smart, because I don't really know what I'm looking at. But he knew the marks of provenance. And Wayman knows the same thing, because he's a gun collector. Nathan, he collects computers. He still has an Atari, a Commodore 64, an XT, and an AT. And I'm sure that you have those still, because they really do a lot of good. On the Commodore 64 and so forth, you could type for half a day and get Mary Had a Little Lamb out of it. They're really great. But provenance matters. Provenance matters in things. Matter of fact, Paul talked about provenance there in 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. You see where he mentions there, at the mouth of two or three witnesses, in the things that he is about to say, the things that he has presented, that there would be provenance, there would be proof, there would be something that would show the record of ownership, there would be something that would show that he was absolutely what he said he was, an apostle of Christ Jesus. And there was proof, there was provenance of that. And I will tell you that provenance matters when it comes to Christianity and serving God. There are counterfeits. When we look at this in connection with what Paul says concerning false brethren, Galatians the 2nd chapter, verses 4 and 5, he says there, yet because of false brethren secretly brought in, who slipped into our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, so that they might bring us into slavery. To them we did not yield in submission even for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. Paul really covers a lot of this, not only in this passage, but in detail, along with not only Paul, but also Peter and Jude. 2 Peter, the 2nd chapter, Jude, of course, the entire book. In talking about those that are false. And there are false people today that say that I know Christ, I'm in Christ, and yet they are false. And in many cases, not only are they just mistaken, but they are, as this context has here, they are militant with their attitude of having their own way. And that's what Paul is talking about here. Those that would come in privately, those that would slip in to spy out our freedom. And there are those that exist today, and there are those that claim that they follow Christ, and there are those that everything that they do and everything that they say, they will end it with a praise the Lord. You know, Jesus talked about that in Matthew the 7th chapter, verses 21 through 23. He says there, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not taught or prophesied in thy name? Lord, have we not cast out devils in thy name? Lord, have we not done many wonderful or good works in thy name? And give everything that they do in attribute unto Christ Jesus. And then Jesus says in verse 23, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you. And so we need to look for provenance in connection with brethren, in connection with those that say that they know Christ. We need to look for provenance. We need to look for provenance as far as those that claim to be witnesses. Over in Mark the 14th chapter, verse 57 through 59. And this, of course, in connection with the trial of Christ Jesus. It says there, and some stood by and bore false witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another not made with hands. Yet even about this, their testimony did not agree. Remember, these weren't the first witnesses that were called. There were others that were called. Many false witnesses came forth, but none were accepted until these were accepted, that at least had some element of the truth. Because Christ Jesus did say, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it again. But as we know, he was not talking about the temple that stood, the edifice, there in Jerusalem, but rather he was talking about his body. I will also suggest to you that the Jews knew that too. The Jews knew he was not referring to the temple, because you remember after Christ's death what the Jews did? They went to Pilate and they said, place a guard at the tomb of Christ Jesus, because the deceiver said that in 3 days he would raise again. I want you to look through your New Testament at your leisure. Jesus never directly with those words told the Jews that ever. He told his disciples those words exactly, but never told the Jews that. They understood it by what Jesus said when he said, destroy this temple in 3 days I will raise it again. They knew. They were false witnesses. And there are false witnesses that are in the world today that want to take people that should be a people of faith, believers in God, and try to get them to serve God, rather by actions and sight, something that is outward and manifest rather than that which is spiritual. Remember what Christ said when he was at the well in Samaria with the woman in John the 4th chapter, verse 24. God is spirit, and they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. And it's not about an outward witness, but it is about the witness that comes from spiritual things, from God's will. And so provenance has to be there in order for a witness to be a true witness. But not only that, there were and are false apostles today. When we look at 2 Corinthians 11, chapter verse 12 through 15, Paul says, and what I am doing I will continue to do in order to undermine the claim of those who would like to claim in their boasted mission they work on the same terms as we do. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it's no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. And there are those that call themselves apostles today, and they're false apostles. And the proof, of course, in this is not only by what Paul says here, but where we go back and we look at the qualifications of apostles that are listed in Acts, the first chapter. And we see that in those qualifications, when we start about verse 15 and continue on down, that the qualifications of an apostle is one that was with Christ and with the disciples, beginning at the baptism of Christ Jesus until the day that he was taken up or ascended into heaven. And yet there are people today that call themselves apostles, taking that title upon them, which is not given to men, because what it was not a title in the first place that God gave to his apostles, but rather it was a work. And yet they take it as a title which is not rightful for them to have, neither can they meet the qualifications that is given for one to be apostle, but yet they take that position unto them. It's without provenance. False prophets and teachers. When we look in 2 Peter 2, verses 1 and 2, Peter says, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of truth will be blasphemed. And I'll tell you, there is so much of that in this world today, that teachers that are in the world looking at filling their own pockets. There's one noted TV preacher that went out and bought himself a $30 million airplane, jet. And he was so proud of it. And he wanted to do his congregation a favor, since he recognized it was because of them that he could do this. And so he invited them out to his ranch, several thousand acres. And he took off in that plane and he said, be standing at a certain place and I'll do a flyby and you can see how the Lord has blessed us. Now, the Lord didn't bless them. His pockets were blessed. And it wasn't the Lord that did it. And there are false teachers in the world today. You know, when we think about that, and we think about the provenance of connecting with false teachers, if we believe that God truly is and that He is authoritative, we will take only what God has to say. And we will put it as the means of provenance for truth. And think about that for a moment because of what is stated by Paul in Romans 10th chapter, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There's the provenance of what the system of faith is. It is through God's Word. It's not by some man saying, as a lot of car dealers do, and I hope we don't have any car dealers in the audience, and I'm talking about those that are not good car dealers, that are dishonest car dealers. Trust me. Trust me, they say. No, trust God. Trust God. Daryl and I were at the prison, and I think several times he's now heard it, and starting out, he wouldn't have heard it when we first started the work out there. Someone in the audience, a visitor, would ask, what does the Church of Christ preach on this particular topic? And there would be hands that would be raised in those early days, and they would begin to try to quote scripture to show what the Church of Christ teaches. And I would stop them and say, that is not what the Church of Christ teaches. That's what God teaches. And you ask that question, where that question is asked today by those men, I'll tell you, the room rings with the answer. What does the Church of Christ teach? And the answer is nothing. God teaches, not the Church of Christ. The teaching must come from God's Word, not from men. And that there are false Christs. Matthew the 24th chapter, verse 23 and 24, and I know this is in connection with the destruction of Jerusalem, but yet there's a principle involved here. And I'll show you how it even continues on today in just a moment. Jesus said in Matthew 24, 23 and 24, then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there He is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. That's their intent, he says. And he says, before those days of that destruction that Daniel spoke of in the second chapter in verse 15, he said this would be one of the signs of that impending destruction that was coming. But I will also tell you that those signs, in a sense, are still with us today. We don't know the day, the hour that the Lord is coming, but we still have false Christ among us. You know, it wasn't long ago that David Koresh in the Waco area presented himself as Jesus Christ incarnate. And he's not the only one that has done that. There's been many down through our history that has done that since AD 30. And there will always be those that are looking for the notoriety, the fame, the power, the control, the position. But there is only one Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only begotten of God. And He has provenance behind Him. And the provenance that He has, Paul talks about in Romans the first chapter in verse 4, declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. David Koresh is dead. And if you don't know it, he's not coming back. And the reason being is he doesn't have the provenance. He is shown to be untrue. There is provenance, though. You know, that's part of the great grace of God that we have. We have such grace that is given to us. Paul talks about the grace of God when you look over in Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 8 and 9. He says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I'll tell you, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, His Son, was a great grace that was given unto man. Whenever you consider what God had to work with and who it was that Jesus died for, when you look back in Romans 3 and verse 23, all of sin comes short of the glory of God. Man is weak. Man is beggarly. Man sins. He chooses to sin. He doesn't have to, but he chooses to do so. And the great grace that was given by God was the sacrifice of His Son. And that's a great grace that is given unto us. And really, it is a provenance in connection with that sacrifice of grace that was made the day that He came forth from the grave. But also, there's provenance in telling who the true brethren are. Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. He says, for this is why I wrote, that I might test you and know whether you are obedient in everything. You know, I have been face to face with people that say that they are believers in God, that say that they are witnesses of God, that say that they want to do God's will, but they will not stand the test of scrutiny. They will not do it. And let me tell you, the attitude of Christians, the attitude of true children of God, the attitude of true brethren would be, we welcome scrutiny. We welcome scrutiny. John talks about this in John, the first chapter. Those that do things that are not in accordance with God's will do not love the light. They hate the light. They love the darkness. They want to hide. And in connection with all that we do, if we are true brethren, our goal should be that we want to follow Christ Jesus. We want to make it to heaven. And so we're not afraid of scrutiny, but rather we welcome scrutiny, because we find ourselves to be wrong. If we're true brethren, we're going to correct those things where we find ourselves wrong, and we're going to start serving God properly. But there are those that hate the light. There are those that don't want the test. There are those that don't want to be questioned. There are those that do not and will not be taught, because they are brainwashed not to be. Those are not true brethren. They don't have the provenance of testing. True witnesses. Over in Acts, the 10th chapter, verse 38 through 42, there's provenance of true witnesses. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, Acts 10, beginning in verse 38, with the Holy Spirit and with power, he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Here you have then the provenance of Christ Jesus, but now you move into the provenance of true witnesses. In verse 39 it says, "And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on the tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him as he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he was one appointed by God to be judged of the living and of the dead." Let me tell you, in the absolute context, there are no more witnesses on earth. But as Christians, we can testify. We can testify because of what the witnesses, the eyewitnesses, have left for us. And we need to recognize that. We're not the witnesses. We are those that testify. We are those that testify. And the provenance is there because of what we have in this Christianity that we follow, this religion that we follow, that comes forth from God's Word. It's not a fable. It's not a story. It's not the way that fictitious stories even start. You know how they start. A fairy tale starts. Once upon a time, in a land far, far away, in a time long, long ago. And whenever those are identified, it's something that we've never heard of, because it is a fairy tale. But everything that the Word of God has to say, there's provenance behind it, because it is with places that can be verified, with people that can be verified that they live, and we understand then that the truth comes because we have the witnesses that give it to us. And it's not a fairy tale. Provenance matters in connection with true witnessing. True apostles. The signs of a true apostle, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 12, the signs of a true apostle were performed among you with utmost patience, with signs and wonders and mighty works. No apostles today, because we can't meet the qualifications. But there were true apostles. And Paul tells us how that is. Again, there are those that call themselves apostles today. And yet they are not. They are false. They don't have the provenance. True prophets and teachers exist today. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 5, Paul says to Timothy, "As for you, always being sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." Let me tell you, part of the provenance of being a true preacher, a true teacher of God's Word, is that you're not dripping with jewels or wearing $5,000 suits. You don't do that. I think it was Daryl and Wayman, we were sitting around talking, and I said, you know, if I had a wish as far as some of these trips that we did, we were talking about hanging fishing, can you imagine that? I would like to go to Mexico, South America, and go for some of those peacock bass and get up to like 40, 50 pounds. That would really be neat. I said, I don't have a clue how much that costs. And I think Wayman spoke up and he mentioned something like $10,000, if I remember correctly. Something to that effect. I said, well, then I won't be gone. You know, that wouldn't be right, I don't think, for a preacher of God's word to spend that kind of money on some sort of entertainment. I don't think it would be correct. There's provenance that goes along with it. Doing the work of an evangelist, fulfilling the work, being sober-minded, all those things go along with it. And it's not just about the preacher at a congregation, but all of us that teach. We need to have that provenance. That we're doing the Lord's will and the Lord's way. And then there is provenance concerning the Christ. John, the 10th chapter, verses 8 through 10. Says there, all who came before me, Jesus says, are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. There's the provenance of the true Christ. All others are fake. All others are false. All others have ulterior motives other than the best interest in mind for the souls of mankind. Christ said, that's the reason that I came. Provenance of a Christian. Let me ask you this morning. If I ask you the question, are you a Christian? You have to understand that there's provenance behind that in order to say yes. There's proof of that. There's a testing of that. And the reason being is, as it is with all things under this new covenant, that there's not a title one that's been given to anyone. We have three elders that serve this congregation. And I've never heard, and I pray I never do hear, anyone say, well, I need to talk to Elder Nathan, or Elder Darrell, or Elder Greg, because it's not a title. And we have one deacon over here, and I hope that no one ever says, I need to talk to Deacon Mark. It's not a title. I'll tell you what it is. It's an awesome work. It is awesome. It is a heavy work. It is a work that they will be accountable for at the end of their lives, that they fulfilled it properly and didn't misuse it. And where do you think about the word Christian? If there was ever a more defiled word on this earth, I don't know what it is. Because you can have those that don't believe what God says. They say they believe in God, but they don't believe what God says. And yet they still call themselves a Christian. And in that way, with that provenance, I want us to look at this very closely. I'm asking the question this morning, are you a Christian? And that means an adherence to Christ Jesus. Here's how you can know, because it's not hidden and there is provenance. First of all, that you must have faith. And that faith comes about by God's Word. Romans 10 and verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word of God. That faith really is not about just the existence of God. That certainly has to be in place. One has to believe that He exists. But the true faith is being spoken of by Paul. He also mentions in Romans the 4th chapter and verse 3. Said, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Where you look at that statement, there was no way that Abraham could say that, well, God doesn't exist. No, it's not about the existence of God, but it was about what God told him to do. He did because he had faith. He believed what God said. That's true faith right there. And that's the faith that is the provenance of one that is a Christian that they must have. A true believer in what God says. Well, my family has been this or it's been that religiously for so many years and everything. I'm just following after what they do. That's not the providence that God is looking for. He's looking for the providence of faith. But not only that, He's looking for the providence of repentance and attitude, a change of mind. In Acts, the 3rd chapter and verse 19, Peter said to the Jews, "Repent therefore and turn back that your sins may be blotted out." That's the provenance of a Christian. And I will tell you, in our world today, in our society today,
There are those that will look at that and just disdain the thought of repentance. If I have an attitude of repentance, it says that there's something imperfect about me. It says that I'm not a good person. It says that I have committed sin, I've done wrong. And the answer to that through God's word is, yes, that is correct. That is correct. And so therefore, turn to God, repent, follow Him. That's the provenance that God is looking for, an attitude of mind that humbles itself, that says, I'll not do my will, but I will do God's will. But not only that, there's a provenance in connection with a commitment that we make to Christ Jesus when we become a child of God. In Romans 10th chapter, verses 9 to 10, Paul says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. The provenance that is looked for by God in connection with this is a commitment. It is a commitment. It's not the checking of a box. Well, yeah, I've got faith. I'm going to check that. Everything's good there. Oh, well, yeah, I've repented in some form or fashion. I'm going to check that box. No, that's not it. It's about an attitude. It's about rendering obedience completely before God. And here in naming the name of Christ Jesus, just as the Ethiopian nobleman did in Acts 8, chapter verse 37, he says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It is making a commitment to Him. And it's not for 1 year, 5 years, or 10 years. It's for life, however long that is. That's the providence that God is looking for in a true Christian. And then being baptized for the remission of our sins. That's the providence. Understand, and this in connection with some of the false teaching that goes on, he doesn't say, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, because of the forgiveness of your sins. And that's a teaching by the false prophets today. They say baptism is to show forth that you have been saved. The Bible says baptism is so you can be saved. You can have your sins taken away. And not only that, but as you go on, it says, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is not some sort of miraculous manifestation upon us, but rather it is that free gift of everlasting life. The gift that comes from God by showing forth the provenance in your life of being a Christian. So whenever I ask you this morning, are you a Christian? You have to look at the provenance behind your answer. It can't be because of what my family did. It can't be, well, you know, I feel this way. It can't be that. It can't be I even think this way. It can't be that. It has to be verified, quantified, and qualified by God's Word. That's the provenance. That's what makes one a Christian. Also, it doesn't stop there. There's a sacrificial life that must be led. In Hosea, the 14th chapter, verses 1 and 2, it says, return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. For you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Stop right there for just a moment. You know, the false preachers in the land will say, once saved, always saved. You don't have anything to wonder. You check that box, you're good to go. You can live however you want to live, because if you're once saved, you can't be lost. Seems as though there's a problem with that here, doesn't there? He says, you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Iniquity is sin, transgression. Take with you words and return to the Lord. Say to Him, take away all the iniquity except what is good, and we will pay with the bulls the vows of our lips. The sacrifice of our lips and praise to God and pay with sacrifice. Well, let me tell you, here's good news in this. The sacrifice has already been made. The purchase price has already been paid, and that's by Christ Jesus. You see, God always does His part. That's part of the providence of God. He does His part. And then the provenance of one that really is a Christian, one that has become a child of God, is seen in doing His part. And we do our part when we stumble and fall. And there will be times when we stumble and fall. But we recognize that there is forgiveness. But if we stumble and fall and we don't come back to the Lord, we lose our provenance as a child of God. We're not recognized anymore. So there's a continuance that must be there. A sacrificial life that is lived. And then doing the work, as Paul tells the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. There's provenance in this as far as promise from God because of what Paul says at the end of that verse. Your labor is not in vain. That's provenance, and that's wonderful provenance, isn't it? But here is our provenance as a child of God, that we are steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. There's an old saying, and I think it is true in many congregations, and I know it's absolutely true in the corporate world, that 20% of the people do the work, and 80% of people don't. And I apologize for that rendition. I know it goes a different way, but that's the gist of it. And in some cases, that's the way that it is in a congregation. Well, you know, we've got elders. We've got that preacher. We've got that deacon. Let them do the work. And let me tell you, when you look at the qualifications of an elder and a deacon and even a preacher in Scripture, there's not one person that is left out that is a member of the Lord's body that doesn't have the same qualifications to some extent. It's all there. That's provenance of being a true child of God, is doing the work. And without provenance, we're counterfeit. So I'm going to ask you to do a real hard thing. I'm going to ask each and every one of you, if you're not a child of God, I ask you the question, are you a Christian? And you look at the provenance of what you've done in your life, how you've responded to God's word. And then those of us that are Christians are going to ask us to do a real hard thing. We're going to look at the provenance in our life and say, truly, have we met the test? 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter and verse 5. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or you do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? And so I ask this morning, do we have the provenance to back up the claim of our Christianity? Provenance matters. If there are those that we can help in any way in solidifying your provenance before God to truly be His child, because the Lord knows who are His, then we are here to assist you. If you're not a child of God, we are here to assist you in rendering obedience to Him, being baptized for the remission of your sins. And if you are a child of God, but you recognize that your provenance is not what it should be, and you may need to make correction for that, you have open arms of brethren that are waiting for you to pray with you and for you concerning the forgiveness of those sins. And Jesus said that He would forgive them. John says it in 1 John 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How is your provenance? There are those that we can help in any way. We ask you to come as we stand and sing.